Now, the only difference is here, this applies to us individually, like myself. Yeah, myself. Yes. I have to be answerable. I have to answer to you. Muhammad the prophet said, when he was asked, what is sincerity? He said, sincerity is what you give to Allah and what you give to those charged with authority. And he said, sincerity is what the leader gives to his constituents. Sincerity. So what he was saying is there should be sincerity between you and God, sincerity between you and your leaders that you put, your leaders that you put into authority, that you vote elect to be in authority, appoint to be in authority. There should be sincerity. You should be sincere in your relationship with it. Now, you know, when you have a problem of corrupt politics, it's because either the leader or the people have broken that sincerity. It is usually the people who, excuse me again, please. It's usually the people who let their own principles fall down, and the shrewd politician, the demagogue, takes advantage of their loss of principle, of them sliding off of the platform of principle. He takes advantage of that. And then he becomes corrupt, working through their weaknesses. And then you have a corrupt political society or corrupt politics. Yeah. So that's because the sincerity is lost. So there should be sincerity in us. For God, we should be very sincere in our obedience to God and in our relating to God. We should be very sincere. We should be very sincere in our relating to people we appoint to positions of authority. Very sincere. Now, you just listen to what's said sometimes from the floor there. Somebody asking questions. Listen, and you'll find some devilish questions asked sometimes from a person from the floor. Devilish questions, deceitful questions. That wasn't sincerity. And that person will pretend like they respect the leader. Brother Imam, now you know I've followed you for years. I know you are a chief. What happened to all that money Donald Elijah Muhammad left? Or something else. You know, I don't know if it's true or not, buddy man, but I'm asking you. That's why I'm coming here asking you now. But I heard that one of your sons saw you coming out of a tavern drunk. Yeah, I heard that. I've heard this of me. Mm-hmm. I can't say I've never come out of a tavern. I have. I've been in a tavern. I know not to drink. The person there I cared about, I've been in a tavern. To see that person. And you went too, for another reason. I don't go for that reason. Yes, cultivate the inner life, and that will be part of it. That's the biggest achievement. Because when you succeed in cultivating the inner life, the life within you, your heart, your mind, your spirit, your feelings. When you cultivate all that, work on it to get it to be like Allah wants it, you will never succeed in having it say, I got it now. I don't have to do no more work on it. No. Allah have made us so that we will always have to work on that. We will always be making progress to improve upon our own life inside, the internal life. So, but be happy over the amount of success you enjoy, or the amount of success you realize. Be happy with that's fulfilling, isn't it? To know that I told 2 less lies today than I did yesterday. That's a success. That's something to feel good about. Yes, that's something to feel good about. To know that I didn't let my old aggravation, whether it's a person or a thing, pull me into an argument and make me lose my dignity. I succeeded today. I was felt victim yesterday, but today I didn't permit that thing to happen. That's a victory. So just look for a victory every day. Look for a little improvement every day and be happy with yourself as long as you are improving. In the world, we want to have more education, we want to have more better earning jobs that earn us more money. You know, getting minimum wages. Isn't it a victory? Isn't this achievement, the success of our progress? When you now making $5.50 an hour? Yeah, that's a progress. So you feel good about it, don't you? Yes, I know you do, because I got a young daughter. She started work about a year ago, and she got a raise. Oh, she come feeling so good. Making a little more now. Well, that's how we should feel about our successes for the internal life, too. Now, that is not enough. But when we do that, we strengthen the society. As many of us that succeed there, that brings us closer and closer to having the support we need for the external life. The external life must first be supported upon the internal life. The external life must first be supported by the internal life. That's when you are born on the desert. You don't have nothing. There ain't nothing externally. Nothing out there but death. On a desert. So when you're born and there's nothing to support your life internally, then you have to be fed, nourished, formed by the Word of God, following the way of the prophet, prayers and peace be on him, until your internal life is intact, strong, whole. You've given your whole life and whole self to Allah for his will. Then we can begin to ask what we need in our external environment. We're ready now to build better schools, better mosques, better messages. We are ready to build businesses. We're ready now. And we are ready because the internal life in many of us has become whole and solid, is strong now. We couldn't do it before. When the Honorable Elijah Muhammad started his work in 1933 or earlier, up until about 1965 or 64, 65, he had a strong internal life for himself and most of his followers. Wasn't right with Islam, but it was a strong internal life. And those people were ready to support material growth, material investment and material growth. And because of people like that, he realized a lot of progress, material progress. But what caused it to be lost? It was the deterioration in the internal life of his followers. Their internal life begins to deteriorate. He began to have more members that came just to show off than came for the real spiritual life. Yeah. So that gave him a weak following, and the weak following tolerated weak leaders, and the weak leaders caused everything to fall apart. Superfly leaders, superfly ministers. That's all I can call them. That's the way they look like. Long fur coats, long leather coats, and rings, shiny rings all over their hands and stuff, you know, and stick pins blinding you almost with the light shining on it. Diamond stick pin in his tie. Yeah. And they look way out. They did. They look like fools to me. Yeah. And the guy wear a big old hat and long old coat, he exaggerating everything. To me, he looks like a fool. I know he looks sharp to you probably, but they look like fools to me. And when I say me, I'm talking about everybody else who holds to the old way, the old good way, like I did. Yeah, they look like fools. So those people, they weakened the congregation of the Almighty Muhammad. They brought weak, and some of them succeeded to be in positions, in good, very key positions, very strong, very important positions. So they brought about the downfall. Now the Almighty Muhammad, thinking of himself as a man fulfilling scripture, really understood that it was not, that success was not the last. If it had last, you would have stayed in the ignorance maybe forever, most of you. But because it did fail, it made it a little bit easier for someone to bring you the right way. But if it had been a big success, and the business had grown, and all the material wealth, money, had been making money still, and making big money for everybody, maybe you would have never been in a situation to take your mind from that attraction and look at the thing in question, its validity, its genuineness as a religion. So I was the best known. And all Elijah Muhammad saw that. So he, acting out a piece of scripture, said, I will destroy this temple and build it back up in 3 days. Then he said, I'm going away. I'll be gone for 3 years. That was symbolic. It wasn't no real 3 years. He meant that that thing had failed, and it was going to collapse. It was going to be destroyed. And he had to go away for 3 days. He, not him in his person. He meaning he in his responsibility. So the next man that takes his responsibility is the same. He is the true person, not the Elijah Muhammad. When Elijah Muhammad goes, the one who takes his responsibility, he now is that person. So when he said, I, he's talking about the office, not himself as a physical person. He said, I have to go away for 3 years. He mean the office is going to be gone, but it will come back. He had faith that it will come back, and it did. Yes. And he was, I say he's acting out scripture. Say, for if I don't go away, the kingdom will not come unto you, or the comforter will not come unto you. Right? Yeah, it means both, brother. Yeah. If I don't go away, the kingdom will not come unto you, or the comforter will not come unto you. The comforter and the kingdom, they go together. The comforter is only to marshal in the kingdom, or to urge and to lead us into the kingdom, the comforter. And the comforter there is bigger than a person. The comforter is bigger than a person. The comforter is not only the person, but the word of God in the person. That's the real comforter. Yes. The comforter, the word is first the comforter. Then the person bearing that word, as God wants him to bear it to the people, is a comforter. Then the goal of that word is to bring the community into being. The community is also the comforter. Yes. I think you all can follow me. I used to get bad vibes from the audience. I'm not hardly getting anything today. You either sleep or you're with me. Praise you, Allah. So we want community development. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad again had that sensitivity in him. He knew that we need to go all the way. We just can't have mom and pop stores, just can't have business, big businesses and trucking lines. No, we have to be the developers of our own communities. That's why he formed Progressive Land Developers. Don't realize Muhammad formed that. Progressive Land Developers. Now here, we lost all that, didn't we? Yes, the temple was destroyed. We lost all that. But now all of a sudden, we find ourselves again in a situation where we can depend on good people and strong people to support a community effort, an effort to really build for the community. Schools, fine schools, messages, social centers, recreational centers, business to support financially the whole vision. We're there again. Yes, we are. And the contributions to the collective purchase conference are coming in increasing. When we started, I said, pretty soon, we're going to be to $100,000. We reached it. I said, and it took like maybe 2 months. I said, pretty soon we are going to be to $200,000. And we reached it. It took about 1 month. Then I said, pretty soon we're going to be to $300,000. And we reached it. It took less than 3 weeks. Less than 3 weeks! And it's still coming in. When I go back home, I expect to find maybe $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000
in the account. Billions.
Yes, it's coming, brother. That's exactly what's coming. Yes. Rest. That's my expectation. And I believe my expectation is inspired by God. That's my expectation. I know when something is moving me that's not just me. And I believe this is my expectation that God is supporting, and I believe it's going to be millions very soon, and in maybe 5-10 years, billions. Billions. Because we're not going to just take care of Allahu Akbar. We're not just going to take care of ourselves. We want a model community in America that will serve as a model for all Americans, not just African Americans. And I've asked the business manager who was assisting me, Brother Talib Abdullah, he's a good brother. Like, can't you see that Islam is very... I'm a Muslim, son of Elijah Muhammad. And then... an awakened Muslim in the following of Muhammad the Prophet. That's what I am. And many of my ancestors came from places like Sudan, Niger, Timbuktu, who knows? Right? Yes. It's 50% Muslim, maybe more than that now, Africa. And during the time we were brought up here, it was the most popular religion on the continent. Our religion of Islam. So you think God, if you had to power yourself as a man, to take a child and put that child back with his parents, that it was taken away from, its true parents, its real parents, that were good parents, wouldn't you find a way to do that? Well then, what do you think about God? If God sees parents that slavery and other things that happened and occurred in their life got in the way and separated them from their good lineage, Islamic lineage, you think God is going to just know that and not try to help? So God in his own way was helping through every person that tried to introduce Islam in any way to us in America. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad more important than any other. Yes, God was helping. Now we've come in contact with Quran, we have Islam, we have the real Islam. So you think God is not going to give us the complete life that we were taken from? Mali, Songhai, these places, Timbuktu, the educational center in Africa, these places had black African individual Muslim people presiding over that interest, caring for that interest, taking care of that interest. Just because you lose national glory or statehood doesn't mean that God is finished with you. Well, this country lost it too, didn't it? They lost it in Europe and came here in hopes of having it again. And they got it again. God is with us, I'm sure of that. Yes? Yes, we're over 300,000 now.
Right.
So we're over 250,000, we're going to the 500,000 mark. And we're already in good situation to go over and make purchases. Go over and make purchases from the factory. We got enough money now, we can go directly to factory and buy from factories. But we can't buy that much because we only have $300,000. But we can buy from factories. We can buy, we already selected some things, the leaders, but we want to go a little more, travel a little more, and get more items that we think you need. And we're asking for a survey to be taken too. All the areas we want your imams to find out what would you like for us to provide you with. I think for the sisters we should provide them with. It's embarrassing for me to have my wife go to a non-Muslim or a person outside of my race. It ain't racism, it's just racial pride, family pride, and buy very intimate items. Very secret, intimate items. So why can't we start on those intimate items for her to go get from somebody else? Start on those items, get some of those items. And let every sister and brother pledge that we're not going to get this. If we can get it from the CPC effort, we're not going to get it from anybody else.
Yeah.
Right. Let us pledge to do that.
Allahu
Akbar. And it's not going to cost you more, it's going to cost you less. If we can't bring you something of the same quality, equal to the price you get it at, or cheaper, then we don't want to deal with that. We don't even do it. We only do it if we can give it to you at the same price or for a penny, few pennies cheaper. There's a lot to say about this, you know. The good strategy is not to sell too cheap to your public. Unless you do it in secret, then it has to be a club-like. That doesn't work too well. The best way is to sell at the best price. Be competitive with the market. Sell the same quality for what you can get it out there on the market. That's the best way. Then the money comes into those who invested the money. We got it much cheaper, so they got money. We ain't letting people come in here and into this group who doesn't have the community interest at heart.
Right.
There are people who already donate. We know them. They donate to the ministry. They help this community. We already know that. They're the best believers. If we find one that's not like that, we're going to tell him to take his money, going to give him a refund. We're going to give his money back. If he doesn't have the community interest at heart, we don't want his money or her money. Only if he has the community interest at heart. That most of us, we live just to see Islam become our life and our communities become Islamic. That's what we live for. So those who want that, those are the ones that we want to invest money in this project and get the benefit of it. They will get benefit. They're going to get benefit, real material, real money benefit. Now, you know, we mentioned the monies that was given to us by persons who didn't want products. They don't have time, like my cousin. My cousin in Detroit, a woman, she has a fish business, and she doesn't have time to sell commodities. She doesn't want to be bothered with that. She got hands tied enough. She put $10,000 from the. She was one of the early investors. She put $10,000 into the CPC, and she said, "But I don't want anything but cash return." Called capital investing now in the language of the business now. The language was formed by the manager, Talib Abdullah, one of the main manager, Talib Abdullah in Houston, Texas. So I told her, I said, well, if I'm gonna do all the work now, I said, I don't have a lot of time either, I said, to promote this. I said, I'm gonna have to hire somebody to sell. I said, so you're gonna have to give me 50% of the profit. No, she was happy. It looked like she said, oh, that all? She was happy. She was relieved that I said the 50%. Then my wife, Dina, she came up with $10,000. So I said, well, I said, you know, I told my cousin now, I'll tell you the same. So I told her the same. Another sister from the Chicago area, she came up with a big amount, and she said the same. She wanted me out. So I said, oh boy, I said, how am I going to handle all this stuff? Then the money started coming in, checks started coming in, and I'm looking at the checks. Looked like to me better than two-thirds of people are saying they want a capital return, they don't want the products. Better than two-thirds. Now, I can't take that. I could take my relative, I could help my relative. I could be a partner with my cousin, I could be a partner with my wife. And this sister, I know her very, very well, we're friends too. Not girlfriends now. Not girlfriend, boyfriend, but we're friends. Yeah, I know how you all stress things real quick. That's that old habit. Yeah, we're good friends, so I was gonna do that for her. So now I'm not gonna do it for any of them because it's too much. So I won't be doing it, but I won't be having that kind of arrangement with anybody, not even my cousin or wife, anybody. Everybody's money comes into the CPC. When the profits come, the investor gets 60%, 40%. I was working on thirds, but we had rounded out so it figured it'd be easy to handle. You know, I told you at the White Plain, I said I'd like threes. My life seemed to be having a lot of threes in it. So I'm kind of superstitious. Threes got me a little superstitious. So I say, I like threes, okay, one third to me, two thirds to you. So I'm like, yeah. But no, not that anymore. 60% of the profit goes to the investor, 40% of the profit stays with the company. Now, the investor owns that investor's share of that 40%. Nobody owns that except the investors. The whole the company is owned by the investors. So you earn your share, but your share will just be by number now, not by percentage. Your share, when you invest, say you invested $10,000 and one person invested $2,000, so your share is five times that person's share that invested $2,000. But when we bring this money in that's for the company, that's made by the company, the 40% is shared equally by all investors. By all investors. Yeah. And I think that's a fair way to do it. Because it's too much trouble to try to break it all down and give. We could do it. We could do it the other way too. Give them a card in the ratio. Do it on a ratio basis. Card, if you got $40,000 in here, your share would be 20 times the person who got $2,000 in here. You know, we could do it on that basis too. But since it's for the community anyway, this 40, you weren't expecting it, right? You got your 60, that's yours. So this 40, if people want to claim it, why don't we allow all of them to claim an equal share based upon their number? equal share based upon that number. But we're not going to have all the people claiming. And just a few people going to have a claim to get something back. I want everything I got there. I'm in a bad situation here. My house caught on fire. This shit happened. There'll be a very few. That's not going to happen all the time. So why don't we use that money to build up financial power so that we can build better schools and supply better schools and build better messages and build better community and provide insurance, et cetera, to the teachers and to the families, et cetera. We use that money to strengthen our community financially. Yes, because it shouldn't come to you anyway. You got your 60. It should come to you indirectly, not directly. That's what I'm saying. Indirectly, not directly. Only if you have a real dire situation and you want to pull it out, pull your share out. Then we give you a share based upon the numbers of investors rather than upon your investment. So a man that got $50,000 in there, he won't be able to pull out no $50,000 and hurt us too bad. So believe me, it works fine. In fact, it works so good, it spooks me up. Really. I know I couldn't do that. The benefits that I'm seeing, I didn't expect those benefits. I conceived an idea, and I knew it would work because nobody earns more than the other person, not even me. So I know this will work. It enables everybody to invest and make money. And it's attractive to everybody, even me. Yeah. So I know it'll work. I told the brother, I said, it's going to work. I said, it's going to work. This is going to really work. Everybody's going to be happy. They're going to appreciate it. And that's what happened since day one. That's what has been happening. But I didn't realize that we would have all these investors. I was imagining that we would be able to get our money together and we'd be able to buy products. And everybody will take that product, and this brother will have a product. He put himself in this retail business. This brother put himself in that wholesale business. This brother do that, this and that. Sisters too. That's what I saw. But now I see we're going to have growing capital. And that's financial power. Well, I might as well tell you something else. You're going to hear it later.
Come on.
You know, I'm not the prophet. I shouldn't have to tell you. I'm only an imam. No more titles than these brothers got. I don't want any more. I'm entitled to any more titles than they can wear. Prophet is finished. And Mujaddid, as far as I'm concerned, is finished too. The Mujaddid is the new thinking that comes into the environment. That's the Mujaddid. That's what will revive us. The new thinking. Sometimes that thinking is maybe identified mostly with one person, but there may be many people, new thinkers contributing to what we credit that thinker with, you know, and who knows where he got his from. So I really say that the revival is really the new mind, the new thinking that comes into the society give us better leadership and better future. Obeying Allah's word and following his messenger, Muhammad, upon him be the peace. Yes, so I believe that this idea that we have is going to be very, very successful. And I believe also that the people have heard of our idea now, and they're desperately reacting to it. They believe that we are going to achieve big, big success. So they're desperately reacting to it. A magazine was sent to me by an alert sister on the ball, to alert to see this caption in the magazine and send it to us. Sent it to me as a CPC, representing CPC. And they, the Christian Baptists, associated with the Baptist Convention, they have formed a CPP, It said reason. That's what it says, reasoning. And it represents collective purchase power. And they are expecting that hundreds of thousands are going to be investors. And they're saying that their resources, finance resources, is going to grow to the hundreds of billions. So are you listening to this? They say a non-African American brought them the idea, quote, white man. And he's making a deal with them. He has the vision and the know-how to bring this about, and the expertise, I guess, and the connections to make it possible for them. So he's asking them to give him 30% for 7 years. 30% for 7 years. Can you imagine what kind of money that's going to be if they realize what they're talking about? Billions, hundreds of billion dollars. They said, I think they say 400 billion is what they expect. Now look what his share is going to be. 30% of that money is outrageous. Now I think they reacted to their news of what we were doing. And who knows, maybe the white man brought them the news and said, look, you better move quick. This Muslim leader, he looks good. He's going to the Vatican. You know he must look good if they're going to let him go to the Vatican. He gave a speech on the Senate floor. Did a prayer on the Senate floor and et cetera. Said, you better watch this guy. He's going to take all your congregation from you. I don't want that congregation. If that congregation wants what's right and they want Islam, they want what we represent, welcome. But I'm not out to get their congregation. Okay, but he probably alarmed them and told them, you see. And he's going to be so impressed with this financial plan he has, you're going to lose all your people to him. He planned to take over the neighborhoods. No, he'd be planning to buy the neighborhoods, develop the neighborhoods. Our neighborhoods bring material dignity to our community, to our people, to us and to our people. That's what we plan. So I'm sure he probably alarmed them maybe, and they accepted him in desperation, desperate to act, do something quick. Oh, no, who? Bernie might be out of mind almost. To give him the support of all those people and all that money, 30%. That's one third. That's like 3% of being one third. For 7 years. That sounds like working for Leah to get Rachel. That's terrible. Well, let me tell you, Allah says too. That's why I said I'm not a prophet. I don't want you in there spooky. Don't get in the spook bill and in the wrong galaxy on me. Allah says, whenever he desired something for his messenger, for his servant, the devil conspired to produce something like of this. Now I'm not calling the right man the devil either. The devil means the evil influence. The evil and deceitful influences conspire to bring about the likes of it. Now, we will find, as imams and scholars tell us in this religion, we will find that whatever the prophet experienced, when we really commit ourselves to do this religion the right way and to achieve all that it offers us, we are going to have the same things happening to us that happened to our prophet and his followers. Same thing. So you should expect that. Expect that they will get together in their dark places and conspire to defeat, to distract, to take away, to detract, to distract and defeat our efforts. Take attention away from our efforts and defeat our efforts. But Allah says he plans and he's the best of planners. Now look, what they have done is going to give more help to CPC than anything that has happened so far. When the African-American community learns that we have our plan, and the way our plan has been designed, and then look at that, the way, oh, they're in trouble. They are really in trouble. I can see almost see a riot. I can see protests against the Baptist Convention. You niggas giving that white man one-third of all that money, billions and billions. And Mr. Muhammad, he ain't getting no more than anybody else. His people making that money. Oh, yeah. So, you know, they got together to pull down my pants and look like Allah made them boo-boo on themselves. Community development. Islam is influencing us to come into our full responsibility as citizens of a state, a nation, or a community. Into our full responsibility. Who knows who's going to be the banker 10 years from now? Ain't nobody organizing to say this person is going to be the banker and you're going to put this new bank into existence, and this person is going to be the manufacturer, going to manufacture this new product here. Nobody doing that. It's happening on the initiative of the people. The people are doing this individually under the influences of their society. Now we have the added benefit of the influences of an Islamic society coming from the Quran and the leadership of Muhammad the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him. So this is giving us a separate life, and a separate life in terms of its picture, its distinction, what it is, what it's constituted as. It's giving us a separate, distinct life in the life of America. That's what it's doing. And it's shaping us to be very, very successful in America. No way other African Americans can outstretch us. No way. No way. The influences, the life that they live upon just doesn't predict that they will have the progress that we will have given the life that we depend upon or live upon. Can you understand that? Ain't nothing in their environment telling them that you have to build the community. They don't have an assignment to build community. They're just looking to have a share of America. We're looking to have a share of America, and the biggest share we want of America is our community share. The Jews are entitled to their community in America. The Irish, the Polish, all of them are entitled to their share, the Chinese or whatever. We are entitled to our share. And we are the only African Americans so far asking for a community identity, our community share of America. The only ones. Now how can they be as progressive or as productive and successful as we? No. The life motivation for them is much weaker than ours. Now, I'm going to bring all this to a conclusion because I know I've talked too long. Yes. See, I'm on my own time. I'm like that son. And I know I'm talking too long. I'm going to try to get it finished in just a few minutes. Yes. Now, I would like to discuss with you maybe at another time things that are in the Quran, in the life of Muhammad, that are given to us so that we would think How to realize this in our daily life? How to realize this in our physical environment? So things are suggested, and the implication is also hinted, and we have to have the keenness of mind that only God can give us. Because if you see wrong, you won't see right. You got to see right to see right. All right? Yes. How are we to implement these things? Well, I believe God has blessed me to see how to implement it. Yes. I believe that God has blessed me to see how to implement these things. And they're all there in the Quran and in the life of Muhammad the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, yes. Now, okay. Concluding this now on the two efforts, the effort to cultivate the internal and the effort to develop or cultivate the external. I concluded by giving you two references from Quran. One, Allah says, struggle, make jihad. Jihad means strong effort, strong, unrelenting effort, jihad. Struggle with your possessions and your own lives, your persons, in the way of Allah. So struggle with your own selves, that means the inner struggle. Struggle to make the inner life like Allah wants to be, the kingdom within. Make that kingdom within like Allah wants it to be. That's the struggling with your own persons. And he said also with your possessions. That's the material struggle. Struggle to enter into the material struggle. You don't want the material basis to belong to non-believers. Allah didn't intend that. Material basis in your neighborhood belonging all to non-believers. That make you look cheap. That make you look ill-equipped. You're supposed to be very nicely equipped with Quran and the teachings of Islam and the Sunnah of our Father. You're supposed to be nicely equipped. So you don't have any material base, no material strength in your neighborhood. It's a shame on us. But that's a shame that we're going to fight. We're not satisfied with that shame. We're going to remove it. Struggle in the path of God with your possessions and with your own self, your own souls. The inner, the external responsibility and the internal responsibility to build up the kingdom of God like God wants it in you and in your environment.